Very rarely, but I feel I should talk to you a little. And as I've come completely unprepared, and as I so rarely preach about it, you see, I won't have prepared. But I want to talk to you and share what I believe to be so very true for us all. In, firstly, the great Epistle of Peter, the first one, something that you and I have to understand. You must remember, beloved, in chapter 1 and verse 1, that Peter is an apostle of Jesus Christ. And he is an apostle of Jesus Christ to the strangers scattered throughout all these places. He's the apostle of Jesus Christ to the elect, verse 2. Praise God. All right? Hallelujah. In the second chapter, he's talking to the newborn babes, verse 2. And he goes down and he tells you that, verse 9, you're a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You're an holy nation. You're a peculiar people. That you, now listen, you should show forth the virtues, mark it, you've got praises if it's the authorized version, the virtues of him that hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. The people. Praise God. Which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You have. You've obtained it. So don't keep pleading for it. You've got it. Amen. Do you believe that?
Amen.
That's right. Amen. Dearly beloved, take that in. For the healings for the dearly beloved. Amen. Praise him. You're pilgrims, you're strangers. Is that right? And right, now then down we go. Through the chapter. And we're told this. In verse 21, that Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. And you're to follow the steps of him who did no sin. Well, if you walk in his footsteps, you won't either. That right? That's right. You're to follow in the steps of him who did no sin. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to think that you can live like that and do no sin? Marvelous, isn't it? That's more important than getting healed. Do you see that? And there's no doubt about it, I haven't worked all this out. I said I hadn't come prepared, but the Spirit seems to be saying things to me inside that diseases are connected with the breaking of the commandments somewhere for God's people. He said that, you've got to keep my commandments. This is what he said. There were 10 curses, 10 plagues, 10 diseases, if you want to call it that way. Talk about it that way. 10 commandments. Praise God. Now I know we haven't got to be legalistic. But I do see this, beloved, that God is telling us that he's not going to put these things upon us. So if they come upon the people of God, it's because generally the whole wide world has broken the commandments of God. And the devil is running, raging rampant. Praise God. And these diseases come from the devil. Praise God. Now then, beloved, by those stripes of Jesus, we were healed. That's plainly written in the scripture. As a matter of fact, it says, you remember in Isaiah 53, where Peter is quoting from, when he writes this, not that he's merely a Bible quoter, but the writers of the New Testament, wherever they could use the Old Testament inspired words, they did to explain these things It isn't that we can merely quote scriptures. It is that he takes this up and he uses this great word from Isaiah 53. And the word in Isaiah 53 which says, by his stripes we are healed, is really the word scar. By his scars we are healed. That in the healing of Jesus' wounds was the healing of all our sicknesses. For a scar is a healed wound. Is that right? Amen. I've got some scars on my body. I've got some scars of cuts and bruises and boils and I won't go, you know, all sorts of things. But praise the name of the Lord, they're the scar. They were poorly, but God has healed me. And here's the thing for our hearts to understand, beloved. By those scars, for those wounds had to heal over. You know, they laid him in that tomb and, oh, God healed him. That's right. He healed him and raised him from the dead with the holes in him, with the scars all over him. Praise God. And Jesus is telling you, you're healed. To the strangers. You see, you've got to be a stranger to this world. You've got to be a stranger to this world. You understand that, don't you? You've got to be a pilgrim in this world. You've got to know you're one of the people of God. Praise him. And you've got to be walking in his steps. Praise the name of the Lord. You've got to be walking in his steps. And the Lord is calling us, beloved, more and more in these precious days that we should understand these great things in our lives. And don't you believe the devil, and don't you accept anything that he tries to put on you. Don't accept anything from him. I have come to the conclusion, I came to this conclusion a long time ago, that the devil has no more power than you give him. So far as you're concerned, he has no more power than you give him. And you can only give him power by believing in him. In other words, his power cannot operate in your life at all if you don't believe in him. It's like the power of God. It can't operate in you to salvation or healing or anything until you believe him. And yet, we're under the general benefits of God, the providential mercies. It's like that with the devil. The devil's under the providential, the world's under the providential curses of the devil. He provides the curses for them all. He provides the rottenness for them all. But the special things of the devil, beloved, you can't have it. He can't give them to you until you start giving connection to him. Between him and you by believing. People that worship the devil, like black magic people, spiritists and people like that, they believe in him. They cooperate with him and they bring about the work and wickedness of Satan in the earth. That's right. And the sicknesses of the devil, they can put upon people. I'm not going to enlarge upon that. I just tell you that as having met it. But, beloved, you see, this great healing of Jesus can be put upon people by those that are in connection with him, those that are in life with him, those that are with him and moving in his ways, are believing in him. Praise God. The great health and wonder and fullness of Christ can be brought upon men and women. Oh, the Lord wants us to understand this. And therefore, he gives gifts of healings. in his church. But before that, if you turn to the Corinthian letter, this time I want you to go with me to the Corinthian letter. For us, we who are Christians, when we meet together in the great 11th chapter, this is what it says. Speaking about in verse 23 of chapter 11, I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you. You see, that which also I delivered unto you. The word also is the important one here, because the Lord, that Paul, you know, he only preached and he only delivered what he received. You understand that? You can only deliver what you've received. Praise God. You see, if you read this epistle carefully, you'll find this isn't the only thing he talks about receiving. He says in the 15th chapter that he received the gospel. That's why he says also here, because this isn't the first thing. The first thing is the gospel. All right? Then he says, I also received this. And now I deliver this to you. And he delivers the great truth of what we speak of as the communion, the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the wine. And then he goes down and he says that if in verse 27, whosoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many come to premature death. Many sleep. People dying of sicknesses and diseases amongst the saints. Prematurely. Oh, may the Lord open our eyes to this, beloved. It's simply because the body of the Lord isn't being discerned. Praise his wonderful name. Oh, don't you see, beloved, that if people could be healed just for touching his clothes, what ought to happen to us if we eat his body that was inside the clothes? What do you think? Not that we want to invest mere bread and wine with any power or attach any sort of things to it at all. We don't want to get any sort of superstitious notions about them. All glory be to God. They're only bread and only wine. That's all they ever are. But bless the name of the Lord. You've got to discern the Lord's body. That's what you've got to do. Praise God. And I'm part of the body. And I actually take the bread that speaks of his body. And I actually take the blood, and the body ministers the body to the body. Is that right? You're another member of the body. So it's all the glorious ministry of the body. This is the true body ministry. People think it's body ministry if it means gift, you know, and there's not a chap out the front. This is the real ministry of the body. Blessed be the name of the Lord, ministering the virtues of the glory of it all to one another, beloved. Oh, God, help me to do this. It isn't a matter of whether I've got a gift of healing or a special gift of healing that operates along a special line for people who happen to be inafflicted or this way or another. It isn't that, beloved. It's for us all to see. God help us to see. We're all healed by those stripes. We've all been healed. It's a past tense matter with God. It's all over. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. I don't understand it all, I don't pretend to even think I understand it all. I haven't got an answer to all the questions. But I know that lots of questions that are in people's minds can be banished in a moment of time. I stayed during this last week in a home, and the dear housewife with whom I stayed, she said, big mystery healing, she said. I said, yes, tears, big mystery. I don't understand it. I said, no, neither do I. See, and we left it there. But after a day or two, she said, I must talk to you. I said, yes, fine, sit down there, my dear. Now let's talk to her. And you see, all the reasons that were mysteries to her about why she wasn't healed were cleared up. And she was set free. You see, I don't understand all there is about it. I don't understand the mystery of salvation. So don't cross-question me about it. But I know that lots of your mysteries about it can be cleared up. I haven't got the final word on it. Bless the name of the Lord. But, praise God, there is an availability to us. I don't understand everything about it. But this I know, beloved, that God moves upon us all. And we've got to discern the body. We've got to discern the body. One of the great things, beloved, that we must see and see clearly. I think we get it perhaps as well as anything in the 6th chapter of Luke. In verse 12, we're told that Jesus goes out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. I wonder what he was praying about. I think what takes place afterwards can give us a clue. But don't ask me all, I haven't got the complete answer here. But you see, I go by clues sometimes. I think it's the sufficient written in here. Here it is. And when it's day, he calls unto him his disciples, that's all the lot of them. And from those, he chooses 12. And he names them apostles. Simon, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, Simon, Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot. 16. We're at verse 17. He comes down with them and stands in the plain. He comes off the mountaintop, praise God. Up the mountaintop he makes his selection. Then he comes right down here on the level. And the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people come out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. There you are. I've got a clue what he prayed about. You see, he went up there, and I expect he said something like this. He'll correct me if I'm wrong, I know, so that I don't repeat errors. But I expect he said something like this: Father, oh Father, let them understand and let them see and let them know. So he comes down from the mountaintop. All his disciples and his special 12 chosen ones, and then all the people, and they can all come and touch him. They can all be healed. Stands right down there on the level. Now this, I believe, my beloved brothers and sisters, is a picture of what Jesus wants. So that people come to hear and to be healed. They come with a dual purpose. They come so that people that are vexed can be delivered, and people that are troubled can be set free, and people that are sick can be healed. Oh, it's all so marvelous. This great availability. Mind you, we don't want to sort of get healing mad or anything like that. We don't want to get sidetracked. We don't want to get turned from the main purpose of it all, beloved, of the church's existence in this world. But this I am perfectly assured of in my own heart, that God wants us right down here on the level where people can come and where they can touch Him. And oh, glory be to the name of the Lord Jesus. And isn't it a thrill to you that since He's gone back up to heaven and has dispersed and distributed Himself through many, many more, proliferating and moving the power and virtue of Himself through other men and women, members of His body, is to give greater availability for people to come and touch Him. That's what it's all for. That when people touch you, they should touch Jesus. I got very worried at one... Well, no, that wouldn't be true. Because I'm not a person that gets very worried. But I did get a bit concerned at one time, because at one period I had to learn that people were sort of coming up, if I was in a crowd, and touching me and going off. I thought, what are these people touching me for? And I went home and I think I talked it over with my wife. But I began to see, and I caught hold of one person. I said, what did you do that for? And they were a bit sheepish. I said, thought if I touched you, I might get healed. I said, oh, Lord. I tell you, I was concerned about that. I thought, what are these people doing? Are they idolizing someone? But then I began to see what Jesus was up to. They only had to touch His body and they were healed. We're His body. When people make contact with us, beloved, they've got to make contact with power and holiness and love, contact with healing and sanctification and salvation and forgiveness. Hey. We're His body. We've got to discern the body. Oh, that a revelation may come upon the people of God of the body. Not my ministry, but His body. I want to be His body first. I don't want to be concerned with my gifts or my ministries. I want to be His body. Oh, God, I want to be His body. Don't you? Oh, hallelujah. You see, beloved. I know you can say, oh, but I thought this was all a spiritual body, and I know you did. I know you did. So did I. I used to think like that once, and it's still true. But, beloved, when people just contact us, I tell you what... You've heard me tell stories about that old brother of mine, some of you, that old elder in Bradford. You see? I remember I was poorly one time, and I don't know what it was. It was a very rare occasion, by God's grace, that I used to feel a bit ill or something like this. And I didn't turn up at one of the services, and down came the old elder. Praise the Lord. My wife led him in, and he sat just in front of me, and he talked to me. And as he talked to me, I was all right. He didn't have to pray for me. And then I returned the compliment. One day he wasn't so well. He was very ill, really, poorly. And I went to see him. And I sat in front of him, and we talked together, and God healed him. Yeah, did we? None of this business. God healed him. Pentecostalism, you know. That doesn't impress the devil and sickness. Don't you think that, my beloved brothers and sisters?
Hallelujah. That's flesh. I think God was talking to us a bit about that a little earlier, about getting the wheat away from the chaff. There's a lot of wheat there, but such a lot of chaff around it with some people that it puts others off. They think it's all chaff. You see, that's the trouble. Frightens people off. But here's the glorious and genuine truth, beloved. We are to minister. We are to just be His body. We're to live in this glory. Oh, it's wonderful when the Lord really heals you. All right. Know this then. If you've got some disease or sickness and you're a true child of God, He didn't put it on you. Praise God. And, you know, the logical unfolding of this truth of healing in this setting is this. You know, we read that in Exodus in the 15th chapter. Is that right? You remember that. Now, you will know that the 15th chapter is the chapter of song. Did you know that? The 15th chapter of Exodus is the chapter of singing. Verse 1, then sang Moses and the children of Israel. Amen. And they sang all sorts of things about what the Lord did. See? I'll sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath He thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare Him an habitation, my Father's God. I will exalt Him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath He cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank under the bottom as a stone. The right hand, thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble, and with the blast of thy nostrils the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Blow with thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand. The earth swallowed them. Thou, in thy mercy, hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm they shall be as still as a stone, till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in, plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariot and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. That's what that song's all about. Just that verse. It's all about that. And so, you see, the revelation of healing follows on logically after that. That God had destroyed Pharaoh and his chariots and his chosen captains and his horsemen and all his people in the sea. It's all been done. That in the act of redeeming his people, he had destroyed their enemies. It's all done. This is where it all comes from, that in the act of redeeming you and me on the cross and through the tomb, he has destroyed all our enemies. Amen. It's all done. And you know, you see, this is where some people get frightened. You see, they sort of think, oh, somehow I thought I was safe in this great sort of Passover and passing through, but the devil, he sort of got through, you see. The devil, when God congealed the waters in the depths of the sea, congealed them there so that they all stood like congealed water. Must have been wonderful, mustn't it? Congealed water, that's better than ice. Couldn't have been ice, you see, because it was melted, because there was a pillar of fire there, so couldn't have made it ice. It wasn't an ice age, it was an age of congestion for far the waters were concerned. God congealed them, praise God, in the midst of the sea. And the devil said, oh, I'll go through too, I'll go, I'll have them. And the devil frightens you, he's got you. The devil keeps on, got you. And the devil went, and the Lord went, what he says? Blew with his breath. You've got wind there. Same word in Hebrew. Blew with his spirit. Breath, wind, they're all the same. Ruach. Blew with his spirit. It was done by the Holy Ghost. The breath of God. Amen. And the Holy Ghost brought the virtues of the Passover, the slain lamb and the shed blood into these people. That's right. And the Holy Ghost brings it all through, beloved. The healing, the deliverance. Is that right? God says, I'm not going to put them upon you, and neither are they either. Now, beloved, as yet we have an unredeemed body. We understand this, that these bodies of ours are still awaiting the coming of Jesus and the translation. And it's in this providential aspect of what the devil provides generally for all human beings that sometimes we get these sicknesses, you see, and they do come upon us. But blessed be the name of the Lord. I don't say I thoroughly understand this, and I'm not trying to propound a theory to you, but I know that in this glorious realm, the Lord works. Even in this unredeemed state of ours. What I want you to understand, beloved, that your mind has been thoroughly redeemed. Amen. You have no business to be in mental turmoil, conflict, depression, or anything like that. Your mind, because as we were thinking a little earlier, repentance starts as a complete change of mind. It is a change of mind. Amen. He changes the state of the mind. Amen. This is a marvelous thing. your soul life utterly redeemed, your soul life saved moment by moment. Amen. That is your state of conscious existence. Saved. Praise God. That's a marvelous thing. Your spirit thoroughly regenerated by the power of the living God. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Your body, that's right, you're to discern. And somehow, by the glorious power of the Spirit that God hasn't completely revealed unto us as yet, though we're learning more and more, this body of ours can be brought into the good and glory and blessings and benefits of what God's already done in our spirits and in our minds. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Isn't it a marvelous thing? And this is what old John says. He says, I would that you should prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. That's what he says. Even as your soul prospereth. So let your soul prosper. Let your soul prosper. That has nothing to do with how much income tax you pay or don't. Nothing to do with that, beloved. It has to do with your feeding on Jesus and growing there. I know you might say, well, I know some of the sweetest saints and they have the greatest afflictions in their body. That's perfectly true too. I believe that with many of them there's a way of redemption for them and there's a way of deliverance and a way of healing. I believe that. I believe, I said many of them, I'm not saying about all of them, I'm no judge of this, but I do know this, that there is salvation and healing in Christ. And many of the sweetest saints haven't learned the way of receiving it. Doesn't mean to say because they're sweet saints that they know all the answers, they don't. And it doesn't mean to say that because they're a sweet saint, ipso facto, automatically, God would do this. Well, beloved, he doesn't do it automatically. He has laid down rules for us. We've got to discern the body for a start. And many, many sweet saints, they don't move in the realm of the gifts of the Spirit. Because I used to move in a company that didn't receive the gifts of the Spirit once. They were some of the choicest people. But they just didn't believe, you see. There is a realm, beloved, into which we must move. God wants to move us into it increasingly. That God should bring us into the full Christ life. Amen. All right, you shouldn't be bound by Satan in any degree. Do you believe that? You do, don't you? And you believe, don't you, that many things that are called sicknesses are bondages of Satan, don't you? In the sense that Jesus meant when he saw the woman in the synagogue and she couldn't lift herself up and he says she's been bound by Satan for 18 years. Yes. Come and be healed. How long have you been bound? Come and be healed. By his stripes you were healed. In his healing, your healing took place. Glory be to God. Amen. And we've got to believe this, beloved, and we've got to move in it. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise his name. Yeah. I could go on and tell you stories like that, one after another. Not with your people have been healed because you prayed with them specifically. This happened only the other week. I don't want to go back for so many years. This only happened. A man said, well, whilst you've been preaching tonight, the Lord's healed me. I said, well, that's fine, isn't it? Wonderful. You've got great big expectations in your heart. Have you? Well, now look, if you've got expectations there, they've been put there by Jesus. And that expectation is faith. If you've got no expectation, that's no faith. If you've got great hope, well, it's just great hope. That's wonderful that it's there. But when you've got great expectations, that's faith. Get up and act. Hallelujah. Lord. Marvelous, isn't it? All right, now let's pray.